Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's Haunting Evidence Investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at the Ghost Host, who is Sophia Temporelli, and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 12 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com. And now, ghosthunting.com. So you can listen at both formats. Spreaker just added to the lineup, too, where you can catch the format for the show. Your call-ins are welcome, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family here. Any questions for our guests, make sure that they're all caps, too, so that we can distinguish among the chatter in the chat rooms. And thank you, guys, on the Facebook shares, Tracy the Paranormal Informer, Paranormal Technologies, Daryl Marston, Don, Travis, Harvey, Alexandra, Marilyn, Lourdes, Audra, Jerry, Julia, Stephanie, thank you guys so much for sharing today's show on your walls, your personal walls. Thank you guys for all your support, too, through the years. And today we welcome renowned televised paranormal historian, seasoned journalist, author, broadcaster, and lecturer, Sam Baltrusis. Everyone visit sambaltrusis.com. Facebook like at Sam Baltrusis author. Twitter and Instagram at Sam Baltrusis. Hashtag Sam Baltrusis for any posts regarding today's show. YouTube search Sam Baltrusis too for his videos. Everyone, next weekend, the 16th, Discovery Channel's The Haunting featured psychic remote viewer Harvey Althaus returns to the program. Women on the Fringe authors Denise Agnew, Marie D. Jones, Nicole Strickland will be on 2 weeks from today on the 23rd. Paranormal investigator and VP of Friends of White Hill Mansion, Kyle Mangus, will be on the program on the 6th of April. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, and liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Check out the membership packages here on Live Paranormal. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sirica, site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors and DVDs. They're great for the members here on Live Paranormal. And also, too, check out the vendors here on Live Paranormal. They keep the lights on here. If you miss anything, archive shows are available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. Let's bring on the host here, Sophia. Congratulations on over 12 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been over 12 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people. A lot of kids cope with psychic ability issues and a lot of people with home haunting problems through the years. You're doing a great job. Sophia, your story is going to be featured coming up. It's going to be released the week of March 24th, just right around the corner here this month, Women's History Month. So on that final week, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. That's the title of the book. It'll be available on Amazon. But congratulations on that, Sophia.
Thank you. Yeah, it will be interesting for people to be able to read about my story and my home haunting. Normally when I tell people, they say it's creepy, and it was creepy, but it doesn't hit as much as when other people tell you how creepy it is.
Yeah, it's a section in this book, and it's creepy. Yeah, I looked at what you wrote there, and it is what you went through. But if it can help other people too as well, it'll be Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. And also, your guest today has a good friend, April, the psychic housewife of New Jersey, and she's the founder of Ghosted Magazine, and you'll be featured in Ghosted Magazine coming up. Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know if they released who's going to be in the magazine or not yet, but yeah, it's such a great magazine, and April is such an amazing person. I cannot congratulate her enough on the starting a magazine. That's an incredible feat.
Yeah, definitely. And you got these Twitter, Instagrams, all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name is just too long.
Yeah, we cursed you with a really long name. Good thing your middle name wasn't a part of that. But then tell us about your guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome renowned televised paranormal historian, journalist, author, broadcaster, and lecturer, Sam Baltrusis, a writer with an empathic and clairvoyant ability. Sam's books include Ghosts of Boston, Ghosts of Salem, Wicked Salem, Mass Murders, Ghosts of the American Revolution, Haunted Hotels of New England, Ghostwriters, and his appearances include Travel Channel and Bio Channels, A Haunting, Most Terrifying Places, Haunted Towns, Haunted USA, Haunted Encounters, Paranormal Night Shift, Haunted Hotel, and Forbidden History. Everyone visit sambaltrusis.com, like Sam Baltrusis, author, Twitter, Instagram, at Sam Baltrusis. Let's welcome him into the show.
I don't think Sam sleeps much. Sam, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Hey, Sam, thank you so much for taking time out of your very clearly busy schedule to come on today. It's always great getting to talk with you.
Oh, you as well, Cynthia. Yeah, it's definitely have been busy, but looking forward to our chat.
For sure. I mean, Sam, it really is incredible all the work you do within the field. Congratulations, first off, on everything you've done, all the books you've written. I think it's amazing the way that you get history out on so many different places and really share the background to not only places that are haunted, but really places that are just so rich with history.
Yeah, definitely. That's well, do I always say a ghost is history demanding to be remembered? So So it's something that I really try to give a voice to those without a voice. And I'm currently working on my 17th book, which is on Sleepy Hollow.
Well, I think that's incredible. And Sam, I mean, obviously with writing and the paranormal, you have such an iconic background with all of it, but where did you really get your start? Was it an experience you had when you were younger, or have you always just had an interest in the supernatural?
So I was a journalist for 20 years. So I started off as a journalist, but I identified as sensitive for most of my life. I had an experience when I was younger that terrified me, and I kind of paranormal blinders to block it out for most of my childhood until my 20s. And then I wrote a story for a local magazine called Stuff Magazine that turned into my first book called Ghost of Austin. And when I started writing my paranormal-themed books, that's when I decided to embrace my gifts as a clairvoyant and started going in not only as a clairvoyant, but as a journalist as well. And so I kind of coupled the two together, and now I'm on book number 18.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. And when you say with these abilities, what do you get, what do you get in terms of, like, when you go to a location, do you see the spirits? Do you have, like, clairaudience where you can hear them? How do you receive messages from the other side?
So it shifts. So it started off, I identify as clairvoyant, but if someone that is sensitive, you'll notice it kind of shifts to different clairs as you progress. Right now, my ear is ringing off the hook. So maybe because you and I are talking, spirit is trying to communicate to me. So that's clairaudience. And then I also do, I also claircognizant, which is you just know. So it really does shift. It really depends on the person that I'm with. Certain clairs are amplified based on the abilities of the person that I'm with. So even us talking, and I'm assuming that you have some sensitivity as well, that's kind of developed over the years, and that's letting me know that you pop clairaudient.
Yeah, I definitely am not a psychic by any means, but I definitely sensitive to that stuff. I definitely have sort of like a knowing when it comes to the ghosts. And I've seen some spirits before, like in my past haunted house.
Yeah, and that would basically be claircognizant, which is pretty much knowing. And I also pretty much, a lot of us are empathic, which is clairsentient. And, you know, I've always identified as a clairsentient, but when it comes to mediumship and that sort of thing, it's developed after a lot of investigating.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely something you have to work through and progress through. I mean, with you having these abilities, what has helped you the most in developing them? Like, what type of advice would you give to someone currently wanting to develop their sensitivity?
Well, I teach a class. It's called Spirit Squad, and it's a group of like-minded, up-and-coming mediums, and we pretty much talk via Zoom every Monday night. And so working with a group of people, really, I would say do that. Choose an environment that's a safe environment for you to be able to explore your abilities, whether it's through, psychometry, which is a skill that I have, where you touch an object and you can kind of get flashes of where that object has been or what's attached to that object. We can do remote viewing as well. So I say connect with people that are like-minded, and hopefully, you know, find a group that would support you and help you, like, nurture your abilities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important to, you know, be able to share what you're going through with someone else. I feel like that's kind of the hard part about the paranormal is people who aren't actively in the field and going through experiences may not know, like, who they can talk with what they're going through about. And I think it's so important to be able to know you're not alone and also share different techniques and kind of, you know, figure things out together instead of alone.
Yeah. And that's something I did it alone. And a lot of my, you know, experiences was terrifying to me. And now that I've gone through as much as I've gone through, I've had an attachment nearly killed me. Thousands of locations all over the country. So I have that experience that I can now pass on to the younger generation and help them not make the mistakes that I made. And I find that Spirit Squad, first of all, it's a lovely group. And I kind of, because I've lectured all over the country, and I managed to somehow meet someone like in the audience that turns out to be part of Spirit Squad. So it's kind of like my mission to kind of find my crew, my soul group. And so I've developed that, and I'll tell you, it's such a lovely group, and us together, our gifts are amplified. So when we meet, we somehow are able to help each other, I guess, achieve our, you know, abilities to like really fine tune our abilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as someone that grew up in a haunted house, I mean, it really is hard, especially growing up and being young, you know, trying to navigate having a sensitivity or an ability when, you know, you're just trying to navigate life as itself. I mean, growing up and going to school, and then you have this other aspect, it can be a lot, and it's really challenging to go through it alone.
Yeah, and yeah, me too. I mean, like I had experiences when I was younger as well. At first, they were positive experiences, and then they started getting progressively darker at one of my childhood homes. So it's definitely something that I wanted to shut it down completely, and I identify people with the younger generation if they have experiences, especially if you're clairvoyant or clairsentient, wanting to shut it down. But truthfully, you can't. Like, eventually it will ultimately kind of emerge whether you like it or not. So you have to kind of eventually embrace your gifts. And, you know, and a lot of times too, like by having what I'm getting from you specifically is from your childhood haunting, is that the spirits were trying to reach out to you, and you were trying to, you know, like, I guess, communicate with them. And it's difficult because you don't have the way, like a means to communicate with them. It can be frustrating. So, so it sounds like that, you know, like that you did at least try to investigate and try to get their messages, what they were trying to convey to you.
Well, for my particular haunting, my parents did that more. I was actually stalked by the ghost. So,
oh, okay. That's not good.
You don't want to communicate
with them.
No, it was probably like a man in his late teens, early 20s. So, and
okay.
I was 9.
Yeah.
So I definitely was trying to avoid him. And whether or not he was trying to make contact with me, I don't know. But yeah,
right.
My mom was definitely the one grabbing out the recorder and, you know, trying to see what was there. And I was like, God, give me like 5 minutes to myself. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a struggle. Like, you know, you were saying, when you're trying to navigate that and don't really, you know, understand how to make them go away.
Yeah. So I have a stalker as well. Actually, it's an ongoing stalker, in Salem. Actually, he wears a hat. And you know, is it the hat man? I'm not sure. I think it's actually a person that wears a hat. But so I identify stalker behavior. The part that's really dying is the fact that you were so young, and like 9 years old, like that's way too young for a spirit to try to communicate with you. So a lot of times we do kind of, you know, the spirits will walk in and they'll see like a beam of light, like they'll see like you're a lighthouse of light to them. But they can also, we can attract creepers and other negative entities as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot. And like you said, I mean, you have one in Salem, and since you travel everywhere, it's good that you were able to start this Spirit Squad and, you know, find like-minded people who share, you know, what you're going through and can try and talk about it and work through that with. Because, you know, when you're investing, you really don't know what you're walking into at any given point in time.
You really don't. And like I've had, you know, my approach to the paranormal has been different this past year, because I was afraid a lot. And I wrote a book called Fueled by Fear. And my goal really this past year was to go to some of the most haunted locations, like the Sally House in Kansas and the Hinsdale House in New York, with a different approach where I walked in unafraid and see how the spirits or the entities reacted to that. And I found that when I'm not afraid, like it's almost like they fed off my fear. And so I was a very fearful person for a big chunk of my my experience as a paranormal investigator. And I'm like, why am I always getting attacked? And I really think that I was getting attacked because they were feeding off that energy that I was giving them. However, but you still have to protect yourself, and you still have to use a crystal shield of protection. So I do have to go in, because I was kind of getting, I'm like, oh, I'm not getting attacked, I'm fine. And I still have to, something happened to me in December where place that was completely unexpected, which was a church in Winchendon, Massachusetts. And I was doing a public investigation and ended up basically attacking me. And, you know, so I think that we have to always go in with the idea that we could possibly get attacked, or we could have a negative interaction with spirits, whether it seems to be a safe place or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like you said, I mean, spirits do kind of feed off the energy in the room. So I think it's great that you're able to kind of go to these places and walk in it, you know, unburdened by that, and kind of try and find a different way to approach the field that works for you. Because it's hard to navigate that when, you know, as humans, you have fight or flight. And, you know, a lot of times, even though, you know, we're paranormal investigators, you know, we're just humans too. So it's normal to be scared, but also you don't want to feed into whatever the spirits that want that negativity. Oh, Sam, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's kind of cutting in. I will tell you, every time I talk about the specific entity, I have phone problems or I have computer problems. So it's interesting.
that
my phone was kind of cutting in and out. I'm like, what's going on here? I do feel that it happens every time. So maybe we should change the topic.
Of course. Well, the other thing I want to talk about too is really your work with history. I mean, as a paranormal investigator, a lot of people know that largely the paranormal consists of research of some type, whether it's looking at history, reviewing evidence. I mean, it's a lot. How do you go about finding historical facts when you're going and writing these books? Because I know it can be really challenging sometimes to sift through fact or fiction when you have so many different sources.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, because I feel like that's something that I really specialize in. And I'm currently writing my book on Sleepy Hollow, and I really have immersed myself in the location. So like I believe in immersion journalism, so I believe strongly in putting myself at a location, whether it's giving tours at the location, spending hours at the library, talking to the locals about the local legend and lore to make sure that the facts are correct. So a lot of it is me just is immersion journalism. So really spending a lot of time at the location so I can get really dig deep and take a deep dive into the local history.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's incredible. Like you said, you've written so many books, and I really admire anyone in the field that really does do that deep dive with history, because it's so important to get the factual history of these locations out there to keep the memory of the spirits alive, but also just the land itself and what happened at each building.
Yeah, and a lot of it is a lot of misconceptions. And, you know, for example, I wrote a book mm-hmm. called Ghosts of Concord's Colonial Inn. And, you know, they have two rooms that are reportedly the most haunted, room 24 and room 27. And I actually worked the overnight shift at Concord's Colonial Inn for about 6 months. And it turns out that the rooms that are the most haunted, which, by the way, are the most expensive as well. They weren't built in 1776 or 1775. So they weren't there. So the claim is that they were there during the American Revolution, and they served as a makeshift hospital. Room 24 was supposed to be like a surgery room for soldiers, and then the room 27 supposedly was a morgue. But the thing is that section of the inn was not built until the 1800s. So I uncover factual inaccuracies and I publish it. But the thing is, whether or not people they embrace what I publish is it's kind of up to them, because I still hear that myth perpetuated, whether it's other investigators or even the end, like they still hold on to that that story. Mm-hmm. So my job is to really present the facts, and whether or not people accept the facts, it's, you know, kind of up to them. But I do think it's really important when it comes to telling the story accurately for the spirits. They want their story to be told and told correctly. And I see that a lot, especially in Salem. There's a lot of misinformation in Salem about the 20 innocent men and women who were accused of witchcraft. And I spent pretty much my lifelong passion has been focusing on Salem. And it's also shifting over to Sleepy Hollow, which is another kind of – it's a major – Halloween destination. But what's different about Sleepy Hollow is that there was no major tragedy like Salem. So it's interesting that they have the Headless Horseman and they have all these literary figures, but they don't have the tragedy that Salem has from 1692.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really is just interesting, all the history and how it turns into telephone at a certain point. When you're doing this research and any place you've researched over in the past with books or anything, what has been the most interesting, like, factual piece of information you found out?
Oh, that's hard because I've done so many books. I think for me, like, this is, because I guess I'll focus on what I'm currently working on. So the horse, I grew up with that story, and I loved Ichabod Crane and, you know, the whole story of the Headless Horseman, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. What mm-hmm. I always thought was, so the Disney cartoon that I grew up with the Headless Horseman having a pumpkin in his hand, I thought that he had always had a pumpkin in his hand. Well, it turns out in the original story written by Washington Irving, that was total, he did not have a pumpkin in his hand. And in fact, it was also not a Halloween story too. So it kind of twisted over time based on, you know, just like change in interest, and in the Headless Horseman has kind of become like the ambassador of Halloween. On The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Also, too, there's a character known as Holda the Witch in Sleepy Hollow, and she had this whole tragic backstory that she was a witch that lives in the marshes of Sleepy Hollow or Tarrytown at the time, and it turns out, like, digging deep into her story, she never existed. What's interesting to me is when I find, like, there's a whole story, and there's also ghost lore that's associated with these, you know, whether it's Holda or the Headless Horseman, but these were fictional characters. They actually were not real people, but they're being presented as real people. And so it's interesting that there's a manifestation, like a thought form manifestation of both Holda and the Headless Horseman.
That is really interesting. And like you said, I mean, it's interesting that Holda was a fictional person and kind of became something more over time. And just the way that, like you said, Sleepy Hollow didn't have the same tragedies as Salem, but it's really so renowned and iconic just for its stories and the way that, you know, Disney kind of shifted the way everything looks. And I think that's the really cool part about what you do, is just finding the basis information of where things began.
Yeah, and like for example with Holda, like she's been presented almost like Xena the warrior princess. Like she has like, you know, like they say she was in the American Revolution. She picked up her musket and shot the British, and then she got killed in the battlefield. I'm like, how did she go from a witch to being a warrior, like being like a musket toting lady from the woods? So she's kind of, I mean, what I think I need to do is like turn her into like a someone that was ostracized by the community, has, you know, kind of like she was, you know, she actually fought for the country and, you know, she got killed on the battlefield. So they're trying to turn her into a martyr. But the thing is, she never existed. So this whole like elaborate backstory is kind of interesting to me. And people believe it. Like, they believe that she actually existed.
Yeah, next thing you know, she'll be gaslighting, gatekeeping, girl bossing, and it all just goes spiral. She's going to go downhill from there. Once Gen Z grabs a hold of her, it's just going to be a whole new thing. Well, I mean, that is so cool that you found that, like I said. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back to talk about some of the other cool stuff you do and all of the books you've written.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Her guest today, renowned televised paranormal historian, seasoned journalist, author, broadcaster, and lecturer, Sam Baltrusis. Everyone visit sambaltrusis.com, Facebook like Sam Baltrusis author, Twitter and Instagram at Sam Baltrusis, hashtag Sam Baltrusis as the archive show comes out immediately following this show. YouTube search Sam Baltrusis. Look for Sam's upcoming book, Ghosts of Sleepy Hollow, launching this coming September through Amazon.com. We'll be back with a late edition of the show right after this.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
All right, Sam and Sophia, you're trying to unmute his mic. There you go. I had a little ghost there with that too, Sam. Okay, you're on with us, Sophia.
Hey, Sam. Thank you again so much for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I'm excited for us to talk again.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's always fun getting to talk with you and hear your stories. But like I said before the break, you have written so many books. I believe you said 18 earlier in the show. So if you want to tell the audience about each of your books and where they can find them.
Sure. Yeah. So there's so many of them. So I'll go through, like, kind of give you, like, the highlights reel of my books. The first one is Ghost of Boston. And pretty much all my books are available on Amazon.com. The one that I'm known for is Ghost of Salem. And that's my third book. I've written four books for another publisher called Globe Pequot, and that is Mass Murders, Ghosts of the American Revolution, Wicked Salem, and Ghost Writers. And those are also available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble as well. And then I've written two books, several self-published books. Two of them is related. One of them is related to evil, which is based on my experience with being related to the Putnam family, who were major accusers during the Salem witch trials, and also Lizzie Borden. And so that's called Related to Evil. And the book that I talked about a little bit earlier, it's called Fueled by Fear, and that is also self-published, and that's also available on Amazon.com. The new book, Ghosts of Sleepy Hollow, we may change the title to Haunted Sleepy Hollow, I'm not really sure, but that's another book with the same publisher. It's called The History Press, that published Ghosts of Salem in my first few books. So going back to my original publisher, and it's been great. It's been great going back to them.
Well, I mean, it's incredible and amazing, like you said, that you found out that you were related to Lizzie Borden and the Putnams. I mean, doing that type of genealogy is intense as it is, but I'm sure that was pretty shocking for you to find that information out, especially being in the field that you're in.
Yeah, it's weird because my mother found it out, and it's my mother who, you know, she's kind of doing her own thing. My mother always joked that she wanted to be a crime scene investigator, and she was like, so I'm like, Mom, what do you want to do? And like she like when you retire, and I would think she was like wanted to, I don't know, like, you know, play shuffleboard or something. She's like, I want to be a crime scene investigator. I'm like, okay, Mom. But instead she actually became a proficient in ancestry.com. So my mother, while I was writing books on Salem and writing books on, actually I've written about the Lizzie Borden house several times in my previous books. So I found it, you know, insane when she basically pieced together that my mother, she's Southern, so she was like, Sam, I think we burned witches. I'm like, Mom, they weren't burned, they were hanged, and give me some names. So it turns out we were related to the Gould family, Priscilla Gould Putnam, who was the matriarch of the Putnam family. So that she's my great-great-great-great-grandmother, and she's also the grandmother to the Putnams, to the line of Putnams that were accusers. And then Lizzie Borden came later, and that was even more shocking. And there's actually more that she uncovered. What happened is when we were doing research for Curse of Lizzie Borden, the mm-hmm. producers and I took my mother's research and actually dug deeper, and we actually uncovered two shocking people from history that we're also related to, and this is me and Lizzie Borden. So Marilyn Monroe has been confirmed using DNA, forensic DNA. So she's tied to both of us. And also Eileen Wuornos. So those two were shocking discoveries. Wow. Came from my mother's research. But the producers, well, they have a little bit more, like resources to be able to dig deeper. The Marilyn Monroe, both of them, they don't shock me. Marilyn was kind of shocking. I think she's more shocking that she's related to Lizzie. I think that that's a bombshell, you know, literally yeah. and figuratively. And so it's something that came out, like there was the forensic DNA. So Charles Gifford, who is our tie, was her biological father. And we did not know that for many, many years. And so with Charles Gifford, the discovery, she was tied to both myself, my family, and also to Lizzie Borden. So I suspect that that's going to be picked up at some point. Hopefully it's going to be from like one of my books, but but that's kind of big news. It really is.
Absolutely. I mean, that's incredible. I felt lucky to be able to find my dad's birth mom on Ancestry. So I mean, going that far back is really incredible work to have done on your mother's part and the producers. I mean, and to find those ties, it's really, I think, cool and also amazing just how people are connected that you wouldn't expect just through their genealogy.
Yeah, and it's also interesting too, like we can use, so the idea of forensic genealogy is kind of a new concept. So you combine Ancestry.com coupled with DNA testing as well, so you can confirm the lineage. You can kind of pinpoint who you think the person is related to, and then get like a DNA sample from that person to see if they actually are related. And it shockingly works. Like the Marilyn Monroe was she was identified with one of Charles Gifford's granddaughters. She gave her DNA like a hair DNA. For testing, and they used actually hair from a brush from Marilyn Monroe to be able to confirm the DNA. So that was interesting. The process was interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's incredible too just how, I mean, like such a short amount of time that DNA has been able to be used in forensics. I took law and forensics in high school, and I really thought DNA had been around like a lot longer than it has been. So it's amazing just the new discoveries in it, because it still is really a relatively new tool to use.
It really is. And I had to learn a lot myself, because I mean, I'm old school. So I was trained on, you know, I mean, of course, the forensic, the side of like when I've written about like murders and other crimes like that has definitely changed over the years, too. But now we can pinpoint family. We can use it for good too. Like we can use it not only to identify, murderers, but we can also identify family members that we didn't know we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my dad's adopted, and through Ancestry, we found his half brother. So we found my grandfather, my half aunt and uncle, and all of their kids. And then I was able to trace down through some cousins on his mother's side and actually find out who his mom was. So I honestly, with as little information as he had on his adoption records, I never thought I would be able to find his birth family. So, I mean, just through DNA, I was able to find a whole new, sector of my family, and it's been really nice.
Did you have any surprises as far as, like for me, like, I always thought I was Native American, and I'm not, and I always assumed that I was, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not Native American. that part was shocking to me, but any surprises for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. Well, we haven't talked to his birth mother's family yet, but they seem really cool. My grandma's from Mexico, so my mom was shocked to find out that we are Native American. But my dad's father he's in the entertainment industry, and he did a movie with Elvis at one point, and he's really good friends with Shirley Jones. And my dad went to school for film and broadcasting, and I'm a radio host. So it was really weird to find out how far back that trait goes. My grandpa is a drummer, my dad's a drummer, and it's the nature versus nurture thing. Like my grandfather did not raise my dad, but all of them share these traits, and my dad looks pretty identical to his father. So that was all really weird.
And that part, that's getting to Marilyn Monroe. Her dad was in the film industry. So the thing is, her mother had an affair with Charles Gifford, and Charles Gifford was a producer, or he was a filmmaker. So it makes sense that she ended up in film. And so I do feel like that those things are passed down genetically. And so I find it really fascinating.
Yeah, that was I think the weirdest thing for us is when we found that out. My mom's like, wow. You really can't help doing what you do with radio and stuff when you find out how far back it goes. And so I think that was really the strangest thing. But like you said, I mean, there's so much good that comes from the DNA now, especially since it's so much more easily accessible. Just to find that out, I think is really cool. And for you too, being able to really trace back your genealogy and kind of dive deeper and go explore that through your writing.
Yeah, the problem with me is a lot of the people that we're connected to are murderers, so that was a little scary.
Yeah,
I mean,
not, so you're good.
Also too, I always point this out, all the women, they were all women, so the people that we can look out for is my mother and my sister.
You're like, I'm good, I'm safe, it's them you have to look at, not me.
but yeah, it definitely was a shock. It was shocker, but also too, I think, if you look at are related to Lizzie Borden, a lot of us are either journalists or crime scene investigators. There's a lot of people we're hunters. We hunt for information. Mm-hmm. And so that part was interesting to me. A lot of other people, because after I did Curse of Lizzie Borden, other people that were also related to her reached out to me, and it was shocking how many people were either journalists or crime scene investigators, my mother wanted to be, growing up, and or for there's a lot of people, a lot of ties to crime and journalism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just said too, I believe that Taylor Swift related to Emily Dickinson, and it's weird that, she writes so much, and so did Emily. And people are like, oh my gosh, that doesn't surprise me because of how much they write. And it's crazy to see how many generations back certain things run in families.
It really is. And also to add to that too, one of our relations, someone that's related to Lizzie Borden as well, he's a professor in California, and he actually has done CAT scans on other family members that are tied to the Borden family, and our brain chemistry is different. So I find that interesting too. Like not only is it genetic, but it's also our brain chemistry is kind of like different with some of the people that have ties to the Putnams, but to the Borden family.
Wow, that is really interesting. And like I said, amazing that you found all of that out.
Yeah,
I mean, I can see why you write so many books. You have a lot to go off of. I mean, that is really incredible, just the stuff you find out. I know we're coming towards the end of – oh, go ahead.
No, I would say, like, I'll tell you this. A lot of the stuff, it presents itself. So it's like I don't go out looking for a book idea. It just kind of, like, plops in my lap, you know. It kind of finds me. It kind of finds me instead. So yeah, it's definitely things. There's a lot that I'm still working on, and I'm looking forward to even digging deeper into my family lineage.
Absolutely, and I wanted to talk about your work too with the Dark Zone.
Oh yeah. So I did a couple of Dark Zone shows. So I did the Lizzie Borden house actually before I filmed Curse of Lizzie Borden, which I found really fascinating. And then I did a couple of episodes with the Dark Zone. I did the Conjuring House one, in which I oddly was not able when I did the Dark Zone for the Conjuring House. I wasn't inside because it was during COVID. I did go after, and a lot of what I picked up remotely actually was right. So I'm really proud of my work for the Dark Zone. I felt like that work actually led, especially the Lizzie Borden investigation, turned into what I'm known for, which is the Curse of Lizzie Borden. So like I'm really proud of the work I did with the Dark Zone.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I actually think that's where I first found you, was actually watching the event. They had me a part of The Conjuring. So we were watching it and we saw you and we thought you were so interesting. I was like, oh my God, we have to have him on the show.
And I remember seeing you. I'm like, oh, she's doing great. You did the Queen Mary one, right? Like that was so interesting to me.
Yes, I did the Queen Mary one on Halloween weekend. We went and did some investigating in the rope room, I believe, and then the old mail room, which I think is the magician's area now.
And that is a location that I would love to, because I was on that episode of The Dark Zone as well, but it was more, not from experience as a paranormal investigator. So it would be great to go in as a paranormal investigator. And I hear that they're now open again for tours, maybe not for paranormal tours, but they're now open again for tours.
Yeah,
they are. I think on their website it says they have paranormal tours too. I don't know if they still let you – they used to let you rent security guards and then they would take you around the ship and you kind of had your own private investigation and tour. I don't know if they still do that, but they are reopened after they did like extensive renovating and stuff.
That's great. Yeah, I definitely – like my plan for this year, like within the next year, I swore that I would like go back like once I found, you know, like once they opened up again. And so I would love to go back this year or maybe early next year, just to check out the Queen Mary. Cause that's a location. That's kind of a bucket list location for me.
Yeah. And it's a great location. And we live super close to there. So if you're down this way, let us know. We can meet up on the ship or something if you'd like. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and April Bousset wants to go too, so maybe we'll bring April too.
Yeah, she wants to sleep on our couch for some reason. She's always like, I'm going to sleep on that couch. And I'm like, okay, you can sleep on the couch.
She will sleep on your couch too.
she's like has it for the couch, and we're like, yeah, you can. We've had people sleep on the couch, and she state claim, and so I'm like, yeah, okay. As you were saying, you want to get out and, you know, possibly go to the Queen Mary this year. If you could investigate anywhere in the world, no restrictions, where would you go and why?
All right, so this is another bucket list for me, but I'm actually going to go to London coming up in September. I'm doing the Festival of the Unexplained, but I'm investigating family members that not only am I related to, but Lizzie Borden as well. So I'm actually investigating some people yet to be announced that we're also related to. So I would say the Tower of London, that would be a dream bucket list location.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. You get to travel to England for that too. I mean, they have so much history over there, and I mean, they're buildings make America look like a baby. So, I mean, it's incredible just how many of them have like stood the test of time.
And also too, like another, so on the West Coast, now that I know that I'm related to Marilyn Monroe, I would love to go to locations with ties to her. So whether it's mm-hmm. to her old home or, or a hotel that she supposedly still lingers in, like the Roosevelt Hotel, like I would just love to, just communicate with her and hopefully give her some sort of post-mortem piece. Just let her know that we know who her father is. And that's something that I think that she traumatized her whole life. Like she wanted to know who her dad was, and now we know who her dad is. And and she has a whole family that she didn't. Obviously, I wasn't born when she was alive, but like that we love her. You know, and maybe that will help her cross over to the other side.
Absolutely, it is really great to find family and know where you came from. So I can see, how that would bring her comfort and peace. It definitely did for us. And Sam, you have so many events and everything coming up. I want to make sure you have enough time to announce everything you'd like. So please let the audience know any upcoming books you have, events, websites, interviews, or literally anything you'd like to mention.
Well, so if you go to my website, sambaltrusis.com, it pretty much goes into all the upcoming events. But the big ones, I have a couple of events that I produce in April. Speaking of April, she's going to be there too. It's Ghostwriters Weekend that's coming up the first weekend of April. And then I have Spirit Squad Weekend, which is going to be right outside of Gettysburg at the Hoover House in August. And then we have the big Mass Paracon, which is the Massachusetts Paracon. It's going to be the last event that I produce for Mass Paracon, and that's coming up in October, the first weekend in October, and that's massparacon.com. I'm traveling all over the country and also traveling to the UK this year for events. You can go to my website, sambaltrusis.com, and look for my book, Haunted Sleepy Hollow or Ghost of Sleepy Hollow. I'm not sure what we're going to call it yet. That should be coming out in September.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you again so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on today. It's been great talking to you as always. And again, congratulations on all the success you've had. It is career in the field and just the way you spread so much information, keeping the history alive.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'll bring April out. We'll go out to the West Coast and investigate the Queen Mary with you.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I look forward to that. But thank you again, Sam. You're always welcome back on in the future if you have anything you need to promote.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Wow,
thank
you, Sam. Wow, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Sam is such a great guest as always. I want to thank you all for listening. The show would definitely not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And how cool that. Sam and April out here on the West Coast. And as Sam mentioned too, all his events, we had a lot of mentioning and listings of his events, but all of them can be seen at sambaltrusis.com. That's sambaltrusis.com. Facebook, like Sam Baltrusis author, Twitter and Instagram at Sam Baltrusis. Hashtag Sam Baltrusis when sharing the archive show immediately after the airing today. YouTube search Sam Baltrusis. Look for Sam's upcoming book, Ghosts of Sleepy Hollow, launching this coming September through Amazon.com. Next weekend, the 16th, we have Discovery Channel's haunting featured psychic remote viewer Harvey Althaus returning to the program. Women on the Fringe authors Denise Agnew, Marie D. Jones, Nicole Strickland will be on the program 2 weeks from today on the 23rd. paranormal investigator, VP of Friends of White Hill Mansion, Kyle Mangus, will be on the program on April 6th. We have other people that are scheduling their dates as we speak, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page. Great show, and we'll see you next week with Harvey.
Hi, this is Debbie Francion, Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.